From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, May 14th, 2013. This weekly podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Should national mapping efforts in the United States be privatized entirely? The government collects much geospatial data, as do private companies, and it appears companies like Google and or Microsoft already monetize and distribute geospatial data quite efficiently that are used by many people. What, then, is the government's role in collecting and managing national geospatial technology and data? We'll tackle that and more, but first a word from our sponsors. Directions Magazine, already the global leader in geospatial technology news, has launched Directions Magazine India, featuring a weekly newsletter and topical webinars specifically about the growth of GIS in India. Point your browser to directionsmag.in today. And Directions will bring its Location Intelligence Conference to Brazil. On June 19, 2013, LI Brazil will be co-located with the Mundo Geo Connect Conference in Sao Paulo. More information can be found at locationintelligence.net. Thanks, and be sure to tell a friend about Directions. The latest time-lapse video that was published by Google and Time Magazine, and we'll put a link to that video. It's been all over the news, but you can view it with one of our links. It got me thinking about the situation of how Google has not only become the de facto mapping app, the de facto navigation app, the de facto remote sensing app, the de facto change detection app, and I contend that it's possibly the de facto national map as well. It's used by so many more people than anything that the USGS publishes, hence my statement. We have the USGS, NASA, NOAA collecting data, Landsat data, topographic data, but Google and Microsoft monetize it. Now, lest our listeners get upset, I'm not naive to think that creating a national map or a spatial data infrastructure is the same as a Google map. I mean, there are certain applications for which we might want a national spatial data infrastructure, but making the case for a national map gets pretty fuzzy when there are many private entities, Google and others, that are serving a market, and some of those same users are government agencies that are using Google data that might otherwise use government data. So, you know, this is not maybe the case in other countries, and certainly not in the emerging markets where a national map or NSDI can only be funded by large government efforts. But here in the United States, it's a little different. Now, we do have many numerous national data sets and portals that are shared or used by many for very specific purposes. And I'll use as an example the Highfield or HSIP gold data sets. Those are very specific to homeland security and infrastructure. Others, you could point to the geoplatform.gov when we had the blow up of the Gulf oil well, the broadband map, for example. So we have some very specific things. But it still begs the question of whether we need a true national map. And if it's being done by private entities, what then is the function and purpose of a national map or a spatial data infrastructure? And is it worth the investment? I'll stop there, Adina, and I want to ask you a specific question, which is it an acceptable model where the government invests but the private sector monetizes data?
I have to vote yes. It is absolutely acceptable because our lives would be miserable without it. And if you want a case in point, the weather is the most commonly cited example, and I'm a big user of various and sundry weather apps and tools and the guy on TV, and the vast majority of that stuff comes from government-funded satellites and sensors.
Right. And one example that I thought of is census data. The government has a huge effort underway that every 10 years we collect data, and yet it is used by many, many private sector companies for consumer product marketing, to business, and to finance. I guess I'll go back to that question of geospatial data in particular, which is, Google's doing a fine job of creating maps that are used all the time. And while it may not be at the same accuracy or have the same data,
or be as authoritative.
Right. But and maybe that's the issue. Maybe we always want the authoritative source, but it's certainly used at such an extensive level that it brings me back to the question, are we ultimately going to privatize all of geospatial activity? Because not only can we get it on a more repetitive and occurrent nature, but it can be monetized, and it seems like the applications are there already. We're already using Google for change detection, as we saw in that time-lapse video.
Well, I think there's a line that we need to draw a little bit here, and that's that while the government collects all kinds of data, the folks who do the monetization have made that data useful. So, in fact, they have turned the data into information, if you want to use that that schema. I have to give credit where it's due. The reason that people don't use the national map is because it doesn't answer the questions that they have. The reasons that they use Google Maps or MapQuest or any other application is because it answers the questions that they have. And going to find the government data that answers those questions is way too hard.
No, that's a really good point.
So there's huge value add here. And just to broaden that out a bit, we're so focused on our little industry that we forget all those other places where other businesses that use government data to make a living. So let me just quote Jonathan Feldman, writing in Information Week. BuildFacts has federated hundreds of sources of open government data to provide property history information and apps to the insurance and mortgage industry. Ancestry.com mines census and other government data, and prior to its acquisition had a market cap greater than $1 billion. GuideStar, an organization that helps folks compare not-for-profit data, turns IRS Form 990 information into data tables and sells subscriptions for its financial analysis tool. Right, so those are the government data all outside of our little realm here, and there are businesses making money.
Yep.
And
yep.
We've even all heard of Ancestry.com because they advertise on television.
Yeah, right, right.
And they're making money off of our tax dollars. And guess what? My response to that is more power to them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you make the good point that it is very, very hard to find data on government websites. The company that finds these nuggets of gold out there and can monetize them, they're doing exactly what you said. I want to discuss this one other thing because it came up when I was reading the physical version of Time magazine, which also discussed the time lapse, and had a piece in here that just caught my attention. And I quote, "But the images have more than just aesthetic value. Mexico has enlisted Google to help it survey how much of its forest cover remains intact. Researchers elsewhere will have access to the collection to helping guide land use and environmental policy." And it kind of just hit me between the eyes. Now, here's the government of Mexico essentially contracting with Google to find out about land use changes. And I thought, well, wouldn't the National Mapping Agency of Mexico be doing the same type of activity? But no, they're going to Google. It just kind of it struck me funny. I don't know if it strikes you funny, but that's the realm we're in right now.
There's two things going on there. There's the whole public-private. Should the government of Mexico be doing it, or should a private company be doing it? And then we have this whole issue of a private company named Google versus a private company named Remote Sensing Analysts Incorporated, three guys in a basement down the street.
Right, right.
So our industry has to deal with all of those things. We've got lots of small players. We've got a handful of really big players that are getting their names out to the government of Mexico and everyone else in the world, and are clearly stating, they've made a clear communication to the government of Mexico, we do remote sensing, we can do the analysis, we can do this for you, and then we can make the results public for you as well. And the handshake happened, and money changed hands, and off we go.
Right, right. One of the values of the USGS, NOAA, NASA, was always to provide data to the legislative bodies, that there was a very specific purpose, it helps them make policy, And that was the function of the collection of a lot of these data. At least that's what I think the original intent was in standing up a national mapping agency like the USGS. It just makes me wonder if they're providing the function today that was the original intent of the organization. I go back to where I think it's getting very, very fuzzy, that I could easily see a legislator going directly to Google Maps to get his information on whatever demographics in his district, rather than going to a national map already funded by the government and our tax dollars.
And it happens all the time, because how many times have you gone to your favorite senator's website and it's a new initiative and you click through and there's a map of where all the projects are going to happen? And no, it's not built on a government platform. It's built on Google Maps or it's built on ESRI. And guess what? You as a constituent don't care, because as long as the map is there and it answers your questions, you're good to go.
And so I still go back to why we are then funding national mapping agencies if they're not providing the services that we expect.
Okay,
so.
Well, let's dig in a little bit deeper here. And again, it comes back to separating the data from the applications that turn the data into information. And I think one of the most important things that at least our government agencies involved in mapping have done is to lay out the list of what data we need at what resolution. They're good at that. We've got the layers of the national map, and we've got what resolution do we want our imagery to come from our private satellite imagery company.
Right.
Right? They're really good at that. And the government will also make sure that the data that isn't so flashy and exciting that we need, like, oh, sea surface temperature, things with different kinds of infrared sensors, that stuff gets captured too for the science, because the public isn't going to go to Google and look at that, at least not
right.
yet.
Right.
So that, I think, is a really important thing that the government does. And I have no problem with the government laying out those needs for what it says it needs, whether the government itself or private contractors collect it, doesn't matter. And then, yeah, turn it loose, spur innovation, create jobs. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that leads me to the last little bit of our podcast that I want to address, and that is the Map It Once, Use It Many bill, because I think it's somewhat relevant to our conversation. This is H.R. 1604, introduced by Congressman Doug Lamborn, the 5th Congressional District of Colorado. He had introduced it in the previous Congress and has now been introduced into legislation once again. And the bill has many facets to it. The main part of it is the creation of a National Geospatial Technology Administration that, and I quote, shall be headed by an administrator who shall report directly to the Secretary of the Interior. The administrator shall be appointed by the president, so this is a political appointee, by and with the advice and consent of the Senate. The administrator, in consultation with yet another entity called the National Geospatial Policy Commission, shall provide a return on investment analysis and economic benefit assessment of the National Geospatial Database. We have a new bill before Congress. It's essentially going to reorganize how geospatial data is collected, managed, distributed to many different government agencies. And what I want to focus on is that one of the primary duties of the Policy Commission is to figure out how to make government more efficient. Essentially, as it says, and I quote again, convert geospatial activities to performance by private geospatial firms when possible, and reduce the cost of the federal government of geospatial activities not eliminated or converted to performance by private geospatial firms. That's that of Section 202 of the bill. So here we have a bill before Congress saying you shall create a new policy commission, a new administration that, for all intents and purposes, advocating the use and reuse and much use of commercial private companies. And that's I think that really goes to what you said, which is we're really good at putting forth the needs, but now this bill is really putting a focus on, hey, you better find private geospatial firms to do the work.
Let's be realistic. How much of that work is already being done by private geospatial firms?
I think probably a fair amount.
Okay, so we're putting together a bill that says, let's have a bill that will make what we're doing now the law. And more. I mean, so if it's 60%, now it'll be 100% or whatever, yeah. Right?
Well, I think it's advocating going more towards using private entities to do what the government had been doing internally. That's the way I read it.
Right, and that's one of many things in that bill. Sure, great, whatever. Yeah. I don't think this bill is going to pass anytime soon, but it doesn't matter because we're already doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, otherwise, all these little companies with their little planes and their little sensors that capture the NAEP imagery would be out of business. And so, while some are going out of business, some are doing just fine, thank you. And we have this new technology called LIDAR, and they're all starting to do that.
Right, right.
Right. And then after we get past LIDAR, there'll be the next thing. And these little companies will be way ahead of the government, and off we go. And we'll be doing it with drones.
Well, I think the other issue with the bill is somebody is really believing that what we do now is quite inefficient. The FGDC,
GSA, just doesn't, yes, everybody said it's inefficient. Yep.
Yeah, and so you could argue whether the creation of yet a new government body, this new administration, is going to make it any better than it was before. But there is a recognition that we never got to a true national map, which goes back to our original argument. The use of geospatial data, or at least the collection of data, is sometimes redundant. You have these, you have plenty of agencies collecting the exact same amount of data. You have the same agencies buying the same number of licenses when it could be shared. I think it goes really to the point where we're inefficient. Now, whether it gets passed or not, yeah, it didn't get passed in the last Congress. Yeah, you're right. Who knows whether it gets passed in this one? But it does beg the question, do we need another administration? Yeah, we already know that that it's probably inefficient as it is now. And you're probably right. All of this is being done privately anyway.
But I don't disagree that if we could, instead of having two or three collections of the same data every year, we could only have one or two instead of three or four, that would be awesome. I'm all for saving money. I'm all for making that data public so that Google can use it, and I can use it, and Ancestry.com can use it, and everybody can use it. I think that's all good.
Well, I think we'll leave it there. That's all the time we have for today's podcast. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Send us a tweet at @directionsmag, or leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Magazine. And from us here at Directions, we hope that you'll join us next week at our Location Intelligence Conference in Washington, D.C. But if you're not able to make it into the D.C. area, you can join us because we are broadcasting the entire conference via webcast. See more details at locationintelligence.net. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.